Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. We bless you and glorify and honor your sweet, precious name. We pray, Father, that you would open our ears, give us understanding of your manifold wisdom and power. Manifest your word unto us through preaching, Father, and we'll bless you. Give you the glory for all things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Okay. All right, you got to go to the bathroom, go right now. Because ain't nobody going once we get started. Everybody, okay, man. Don't let nobody out that door, brother Doug. These type of messages where people like running. Just don't know what's going on. All right. Hallelujah. I thought that we had an unspoken little thing right here that people would kind of do a little bit of fasting on the Sabbath. I mean, you don't have to. It's up to you, but you know, a little bit from meal to meal. If you ain't fasting, you need to break your plate somewhere. Some of us do. Some of us, that's our problem. See, I'm a preacher. I preach all of it. Where it fit, don't fit, like it, don't like it. Makes no difference. It's still the word. You know, in our society, we've done minimized lust only down to sexual actions.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I didn't tell you about the time I went to the Holiness Church and preached on gluttony. You know the reason why I preached on it? I looked out there and I was sitting in the pulpit. And God changed my whole thing because there were a bunch of fat sisters out there. And I saw two skinny sisters that had gluttonous spirits. Yeah. But see, I don't go by that when you're talking about a gluttonous spirit, about how big someone is.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to show you how I go by a gluttonous spirit. I go by a gluttonous spirit about what I see in the body. Somebody said, Pastor, thou, what in the world? Because I know our makeup is different. You see, because if Sister Barb had Mama Dow's metabolism, Sister Barb would look like Mama Dow.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that so?
Amen.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
Amen.
Uh-oh. But see, it's hard to teach us anything because we've been Americanized.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And so when somebody brings forth the word of truth, you know it's the truth because your flesh resisted.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You know it's the truth when the flesh resisted. I'll show you.
Amen.
When these scriptures was written, these people lived a far different lifestyle than we did.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you don't read or hear too much about sickness and disease amongst Israel.
Amen.
It only came upon them when they started acting like other folks.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen.
They had the dietary laws.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And seeing what messes us up today, we've got the dietary laws, but we're still getting our food from the world.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Just leave it up to me to talk about food, huh?
You're telling the truth. Amen.
Huh?
Yes, amen.
That's why the church, especially in holiness, is just messed
amen.
Up.
Because
they think just because something says that on a can. Look at them looking at me.
Amen.
And then you know what's amazing is that the people would take issue with us because we would rather kill our own food and bring it here and eat it ourselves,
yes,
rather than actually go to the store.
Yeah.
I mean, deer meat is the best meat in the world.
Sure.
In the world. How do you know? Because it's what the book says. Right. It doesn't say the best meat in the world, but I follow the example of a faithful patriarch.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I don't think it can go wrong.
Such is father.
You see what I mean? So, to get our mind, you understand when I told you, when God saved us, you follow me? You are not sanctified whole, spirit, body, and soul.
No,
your spirit was sanctified.
Amen.
The cleansing of your soul and body, he leaves it all up to you.
Amen.
And I'll quote it again. I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be what?
Preserved
blameless until how long?
The coming
of the Lord. And we have not done that.
Amen. That's true.
We have not done that.
Telling the truth. Amen.
No, we haven't, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And so when we're sitting puzzled, almost appalled to the point to, I'm looking for a word. It'll come up here in a minute. I mean, it just literally enthralls us. It just amazes us to see us in the church, holiness and cleanliness, and still suffer from the same diseases that the world does. I keep telling you, it's not God. And it's something we're not doing right.
Amen.
I'm sorry, folks. Last time I checked it out, repentance is change of one's mind.
That's right.
Amen. Uh-oh. Now, in order for you to stop doing what you've been doing, you've got to change something.
Right.
You can't continue the things that you've always done expect change. That's why we don't see too much change going around here. Because we're still doing the same things. And if we say word only repentance. You know, you say it with your mouth, but you have no intents whatsoever to obey, because the ruler of your body speaks louder than what your spirit, your willing spirit wants to do. And when you really look at it, you go back on, we're going to put it on God's side. The truth is that you have refused to mortify.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can't counsel. You can't reason with the flesh.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The flesh has one mandate and one mandate alone when it comes to you being a child of the King. Death. Let me finish reading the scripture. I was reading in Proverbs 23, and I'm going to start at verse 3. When thou settest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Is that right?
Amen.
And actually, we should be glad that, you understand, when we spent, how many years? We spent years dealing with just the flesh.
True.
We talk about the flesh every which way you could talk about the flesh. And we talk about the heart of man every which way you could talk about the heart of man. We'll get in some of those archives and put some of them on transmitter. I've talked about the heart coming from every angle that I could possibly think of, and then plus what God can give me. So then after we move from those different states, then we start talking about the spiritual aspect of it, which nobody ever hits on.
Amen.
It's like a hands-off at don't that. Because see, when you get to the spiritual aspect of it, you start dealing with what's the reason why it's calling all that. For instance, lust.
Yes.
Lust is basically when you have uncontrollable lust, there are illicit desires.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
They cannot be controlled. There's only one mandate for lust.
Right.
Death.
Amen. Amen.
And so in the church, it's one of those unspoken laws. Don't you ever talk about the lust for food.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now, see, I just bring it all in perspective. Lust with food, you're just as guilty before God.
Sure.
As a whoremonger and a fornicator.
Amen.
The reason why you don't believe yourself to be is just as guilty before God, because it's not too much spoken on.
Right.
Not too much preached on.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And when you really look at it, because it is lust, it falls under the banner of lust. It has the exact same judgment as lust, sexual desires does.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Amen.
It all erodes the body.
Amen.
Uh-oh. You mean telling me there ain't no sexual diseases?
Sure.
Then there's diseases from eating too.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes,
the fat is the Lord's. Is it not?
Yes.
I've always said, let him have it, but what do people desire more than anything?
Fat.
The fat.
Yes.
Contrary to what his word says,
amen,
Even though we've been born again, see, that's the problem. See, my people destroyed for what?
Lack of
knowledge, because they don't want to know knowledge.
Amen. Yes, sir. True.
They ain't looking for it either.
Amen.
Pop, change my mind. I've been doing it for 50 years. See, we don't like that. Well, I can tell you one thing. There's many things I've had to change. Matter of fact, it hasn't become a had to change to me.
Amen.
It has become a more or less desire to change.
Amen.
Because I want to please him.
Yes.
Now, I know I received a revelation that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I mean, I'm about 5'11", and I weigh about 233 pounds, I think. And I wear a size 36 in the pants. And so Sister Carol laid my pants out this morning, and I go, well, man. And plus, I'm working out, too. I'm sitting up here. I say, hey, get a little snug around him. I said, maybe there's a little stretch point on these things. But if I stretch it, what am I going to do? Just make it more, just make more room for more fat to fit in.
Amen.
More flesh to fit in. I mean, I cannot afford to go out and buy all 38s. I gave them all away.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Ooh.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So since I don't have the money to go out and buy all 38 pants, because you do know that we require a certain amount of pants. We got to have like two or three blue jeans. Then we have two or three dress pants. Then we have two or three workout pants. And mm-hmm. then two or three of this and
Right. Yes, sir. Oh, I understand. Amen.
I mean, the brothers just don't have it like the sisters. Sisters can wear jumpers and skirts with that elastic stuff, and they can go out and in and out.
Amen.
All over the place, and they never even know if they ever lost anything or gained anything.
Amen.
Don't let y'all hear it. Come on, brothers. Don't let them off. I got x-ray vision.
Amen.
I know ain't nothing but blubble and plubber under there.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Tell them the truth. Amen.
Brothers can't hide like that. When eight pants get tight, and since we don't get a chance to go out and run out to the store and buy pants and stuff, it shows.
Yes, sir.
And so I said, Lord, I mean, I didn't think I looked too bad, but I tell you what, my pants are telling me something different.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
The bleeding of the sheep.
Whew. I said, Amen. Man. And the thing about it is that I haven't been eating bad. I mean, my intent has been to gain weight, and no doubt I've been doing it, but something's wrong. I think it's going to the wrong area. It's got to be if these pants are fitting pretty snug.
Amen.
Now, they're uncomfortable right now, but not to the point where it'll keep me from doing stuff that I can do. You know what I mean?
Right, sir.
You know what I mean? I don't have Dunlap too bad. You know what I mean? See my side profile? Let me do a bad dial. Hey, look at my dad, baby. Now, that is just dealing with yourself in honesty.
Yes, sir.
You shouldn't have to have nobody to tell you any different.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Now, let's just tell the truth. In America, we have eaten the king's meats.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And as a result, We have not learned from what Daniel and them learned.
Amen.
That's true.
I told you in America we live to eat.
Yes.
Amen.
I said in America we live to eat.
Yes, sir.
Rather than eat to live.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. Your body, it knows what's good for it.
That's true.
Oh yeah, it do. Your mind even know what's good for it, but then, hey, when, once you receive defilement in that body, it's going to desire.
Yes.
The mess that it always has.
Amen.
That's one thing I'm telling you.
Amen.
Oh, yes, it will.
Amen.
Yes,
Amen.
Sir, and yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And some of us, it hasn't showed up yet how defiled and how corrupt we've been treating God's temples, but it's coming.
Oh, yes.
Because there's a law called sowing and reaping. You don't get away with nothing with God. Nothing at all with God. You ain't hiding nothing. It's going to show up.
Yes,
one day we're going to be seeing you laying up. And everybody else going to be wondering why. Now, you ain't gonna ask, I know why.
Mm-hmm.
I know why.
Tell the truth, Father.
Amen.
You know, we've had a couple of bad mistakes in the news lately. I hate when, especially when we mess up a scripture. Whew. Man, I'm down there now working on another little thing that's actually turned into a sub newsletter to, I apologize to the saints out there. You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to help someone along. And the desire, it seems like it's there, but the mouth is overweighing what the spirit is willing to do, though. If you understand what I mean.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, the last time I checked, we serve a God of discipline.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I could be wrong, but I believe that he's a God of discipline.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely.
Huh? It is it not so?
Amen.
Hmm? We serve a holy God.
Amen.
We serve a God that requires obedience.
Yes, sir.
That's the reason why I keep telling us, the scripture tells us that since we are destroyed for lack of knowledge, then the best thing for us to do is get all that we can.
Yes, sir.
And know all we can for the simple purpose why? So we don't be destroyed.
Amen.
Now the conflict comes in is when we feel like that we know better than what God does.
Amen.
That's the truth.
And so often the church does that.
Yes,
we know better than God does. Isn't that true? Now, I come down hard on the American diet and American situation because that's where we all grew up.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen. Telling the truth.
Sister Carol and I was having a discussion about salt this morning. Who in the world, how many married couples talk about salt? Granny Gasson, Brother Rich.
Tomoko.
Tell
me what kind of salt do you what use?
Sign, what kind of salt? You see, that's good because there used to be a time we never talked about salt.
Amen. That's right.
Now, there are different types of salt.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know that there were different types of salt until God saved me. See, there's a lot of things I come to the knowledge of the truth of after conversion.
Amen.
Truth. Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's why I don't sit up here and act like I've been doing this all my life because I haven't. But when I do receive something from the Lord, I don't sit up there and ponder, weigh. I just obey.
That's right.
You know, you remember what happened the time I came to the knowledge of the truth about margarine?
Yes, sir.
I thought margarine was butter. I thought it was just a light form of butter. And who knows, Sister Carol may have been telling me that margarine is not butter for a long time. I didn't ever question anything because when we would go to the store, we would buy big handfuls, basketfuls of margarine. And so one day I walked up to the margarine and the butter and I looked over there and I said, "Hey, honey, why is this stuff so cheap and that stuff costs so much? That one says margarine and that one says butter." He said, "The margarine is the man-made stuff. That's the stuff that's bad for you. Clogs your arteries and tears up everything." I said, "You know this?" "Yeah." Now, that's the natural stuff. That's the good stuff that they tell you don't eat too much of, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "It sure is a big price difference, but guess what we're going to do? We're going to forsake the margarine."
Yeah.
And so then after that, I went and started searching up and looking for margarine to see what it has to say. Whoo. It's called trans fatty acids. And I said, "Boy, this stuff is bad. This stuff really puts it on the body."
Yeah.
I said, "We're all right. We'll just take from another place, stick it, grab from another, but we're going to be eating butter around here. No more margarine." See what happens when you come to knowledge of truth?
Yeah.
Now, believe it or not, a lot of people don't like you come to the knowledge of truth because if you are together, that means you have to change.
Sure.
It means your input is not even asked for.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you could just go down to the store and buy your little 32-cent stick of margarine and just open up your mouth and choke it down and eat all you want. Good. Until your heart's content. But know this, you're going to pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
That is
I mean, I just remember I had folks arguing with me over should you eat the livers and stuff or not. Well, after I did a little study in the Bible, I said, and believe me, I didn't go in depth. I just read a few of them, and it wasn't too favorable. I said, no more livers, no more gizzards, no none of that stuff. So I had everybody come to me, well, you can eat, can I? I said, it makes no difference. We won't be eating them here.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, come on, let's just get in. I said, because there was something that took place. That when I started reading and studying on that, that something took place, that something called that little still small voice.
Yes, sir.
They said, that's right, when I hear that.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Yeah. When I, and I only, and, it, and I only hear him every once in a while now. But when I hear that one, you come up with all the theology you want to then.
You're telling it right.
Now, if you want to go eat some gizzards and stuff, you got a stove there at home. You gizz up all you want to. But as for the community as a whole, we're not going to be eating gizzards and livers and intestines and butts and nuts. And no, we ain't going to eat that. And don't tell me that people don't still do that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they do. I remember we used to sit up here when Paul Munson was here. We sat up here and butchered cows. And one day he brought home a big old bag of cow balls. And I said, what's that? He said, what was the name for it?
Mountain oysters.
Mountain oysters. I said, man, oysters ain't clean. He says, nah, they make them kind of mountain oysters, pal. I said, they make them kind of, I said, but oysters ain't clean. I don't care what kind of oysters they are. He said, mountain oysters. I thought it was just big oysters.
Yes,
then he told me where they came from. And I said, I don't think I won't be eating nobody's balls. I only come from an animal. No, you call it what you want to, but I don't want to eat that stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of folk was eating it up, boy, slapping it up.
Yes,
how much of the American diet is just consumed with processed fats?
Sure.
Come on. You see the reason why we're suffering today?
Amen.
You see where?
Amen.
I promise you, you go back in here and read in the scriptures and see how much the people of God suffered diseases. Just put it in perspective now, in context.
Yes, sir.
You hardly ever, boy, if just think about it. If God could just put a little bit more in here and then put this time we're living in right now. He'd have to write 20 books for all the people that are dying from sin.
That's right.
Now, he got it all covered.
Yes,
but I'm sorry, folk, lust of food is sin.
Yes, it is.
Especially when you cannot control your desire, especially when it puts your body where you go that way and weigh too less or that way and weigh too much. When your body gets out of good health, like the scripture says, you are sinning against God. There ain't no two ways looking at it. See, people hadn't called it sin, so therefore, I mean, can you imagine if we just had an adultery fornication fest in here? We would be the only ones that wouldn't think that there's nothing wrong with it.
True.
Somebody else would come in and say, man, don't y'all know that's wrong with him? Nah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Man, you know what it would take to convince someone of that? A group of people that believe that?
Sure.
Then why is it so hard to convince God's people of the same way with food?
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Carries the same weight and penalty of sin?
Amen. Tell them the truth. Amen.
Oh, I told you, we got the little bitty sins, then we got the great big gigantic sins. So we was talking about salt. She said, well, the only time we really use salt around here, I said, we can get that other salt. She said, yeah, that salt costs a lot of money. I said, you know my position on that? She said, maybe we can find it in bulk. What is that, sea salt? The good stuff. They got all the minerals and stuff still in it. And even at that, you still can only have so much. You know, they say the average American consumes 15 to 20 pounds of salt a year.
Wow.
Now, put that on the attack of the kidneys, because that's exactly what it's going after.
Yes, sir.
See the spiritual insight with this? Now, I didn't mean to make this a health nutrition program here this morning. I really didn't. But you see what salt does? Salt, what it does is it attacks the body. And the way that it attacks the body is it removes potassium out of the body and make it deficient.
Yes.
Salt does. That's what caused all these crazy things. We've seen it happen right here in our presence. We've seen a man here in our presence because of too much salt, and his body is potassium deficiency. It causes deliriousness and a delusiousness. Delusion. You see what I mean? Yeah, oh, yeah, it does. Matter of fact, I wrote it down in a little article, what I had come up with. And then it makes you, not only does it make you deficient in that, but see, it attacks the kidneys.
Yeah.
That's the main primary function that salt does when you get too much of it.
Yes.
Now watch this. That all come because of a lust.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? I was dealing with a sister in here this morning, talking to her this morning about sugar. I was in there eating this morning at the house. I said, Carol, I said, I like our granola better because it's sweetened with our own honey.
Amen.
I said, praise the Lord. What does sugar do? Sugar attacks the nervous system. Did you hear what I said? It actually attacks the nervous system. And well, what does it do? It makes you calcium and mineral deficient.
Yes, sir.
It's robbing you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And when you are calcium and mineral deficient and your body cannot get it through the natural means of consuming good stuff, it's going to take it from the place it need to.
Yeah.
Now, there's one part of your body that stores calcium and minerals.
Bones.
Your bones. No wonder the scripture says envious as rottenness to the bones. No wonder. See what happens? How? Well, we understand envy, but how did it come in? Somebody say lust.
Lust. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Ah, Pastor, I don't like this. Who told you to like it?
It's true.
Amen. One thing about truth, you can never do nothing against it.
Amen.
So you go to the world out there, what they're going to do is they're going to give you a supplement to slow down the attack of the degenerative disease that is taking place in you.
Sure.
Make you feel a little bit more comfortable. Not going to do anything to help you get better.
Right. Amen.
That's why it's good for us to come to the knowledge of the truth and never reject it when it comes.
Amen.
And of course, now we could go all just a whole hour alone just about. You can go on and on.
Yes, sir. Amen.
White flour. And we can go on and on and on. See, today we even got to be careful where we get our flour from, because if they're taking out the main source of the germ, we ain't get nothing.
Right.
Amen. That's the main reason why we want the wheat berries.
Amen.
I mean, a package may say wheat berries, but if it removes it, if through all of this so-called scientific discoveries and how to make more and produce more quantity and stuff, we're being robbed.
That's right. Amen.
So the thing our very body needs the most.
Yes.
You know, there's something in the wheat germ called, there's a vitamin in there.
E.
E. That we need more than anything. So the reason why, I mean, you look at it, the Genesis diet basically had to do with nuts, legumes, how you pronounce it?
Legumes.
Legumes, I did pretty good. Getting better. And then you go on up and God tells us, but you see, brothers and sisters, that's the reason why it's good for us to continue to eat the deer meat. Because,
yes,
see, Bambi is running around all out there eating up everybody's nuts and grass and hay and everything else. But mostly run around here in the wild because they don't want to be seen and stuff. Because they know somebody's going to bust a cap in them. Deers know that, believe it or not. That's why they're so skittish. And they know when that time of season comes, it's just in their spirit. Boom! They don't stand a chance. Used to be that chicken didn't stand a chance with saints, but deer don't stand a chance with us.
Amen.
Our bodies desire white sugar.
Yes.
You know why? You do know why? Because years of transgression.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Now the truth is, you know what? We should be eating oatmeal 2-3 times a day. Uh-oh. I don't like that. I told you, are you eating to live or living to eat?
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. See, you have to get past your lust. You can't curb it. You can't counsel with it. You got to do away with it.
Amen.
You need to eat the things that's good for you because it's good for you.
Yes.
I told you, when it gets to your stomach, it don't care.
It don't care.
You got to get past your taste buds.
Amen.
Who you shape contrary to God's will.
Amen.
Then we come up with physical ailments.
Yes,
first thing we're looking for, oh Lord, your day of calamity.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You mocked him in disobedience when you heard the truth. You don't want to hear that though.
Amen.
You want mercy.
Amen.
That's why I keep telling you. I notice I've been saying a lot lately that God is no fool.
Yes, sir.
So when we hear the knowledge of the truth, there ain't no need in condemning ourselves for our past.
Amen.
It's time for a change.
Amen.
Now, personally, I want to keep the rest of the teeth I got until at least until I pass on over.
Amen.
I don't think it's pretty good. You know, I don't think it's pretty comfortable putting glue in your mouth, making sure your teeth stick. You remember old brother Ernie Stringfellow? He's up here preaching. His teeth fell out in the middle of the aisle. Can you imagine me preaching? Ain't got no teeth in my mouth. And because you know how hard I preach sometimes. Teeth go shooting out about the third aisle. Who going to pick them up and give them to me? Now, again, I'm not condemning us for the past.
Amen.
You're going to condemn your own self when you know the truth and don't do it.
Right. Amen.
That's the truth.
You're telling the truth.
Amen. It takes repentance, brothers and sisters. Change of mind. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Then we'll get better and we'll grow better. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. He will be our God and we will be his people.
Praise the
Lord. But I'm telling you, when the folks, they go down here to Walmart, they desire the king's meat.
That's right. Yes,
people meat.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Come on. What are you saying? I'm telling you that lust for food is on the same level as whoremongering and fornication.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Both of them going to get the same judgment when you stand before the king. Where you get that from, Pastor Dow? Maybe y'all do like I do, getting God's word, then you'll be just as adamant against the thing that has deceived you.
Yes.
Instead of going around putting sins on your level.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the truth, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, some of us, we still ain't doing too good, even though we're here.
Amen.
And we're going to deal with that spirit today a little bit. About how we're going to still do what we want to do even though we hear the truth.
Sir.
You become God's enemy.
Yes.
Amen.
All right.
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Jesus is the king that is coming again.
Amen.
And there is no king but Jesus. And of his kingdom and his government there shall be and there will be no end. The king is coming.
Amen.
I want to talk about a subject I haven't talked about today. But I've talked about it. Because it's close to another one. I'm going to talk about a particular spirit. Because y'all know that.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hmm?
Amen.
Y'all cold? Everybody doing all right? Doing fine? It's amazing, boy. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the workings of envy.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
When we leave here today, we're going to have an understanding of it. But it's so big that I can only hit two areas of it. I was meditating this morning. Oh, Lord, mercy. Wow. Reading God's word and looking at, You understand, this book right here, it tells us everything we need to know about everything. You just have to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear.
Amen.
Huh? Envy. 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 Now, the demonic groupings of envy are as follows, and this is by no means a comprehensive list of envy. All right? You read in Scripture, you'll notice that even in the Strong's, when they coordinate the two together, envy and jealousy is closely related, and both of them are pretty much defined as the same, with exception of there's differences in there. And so, hopefully, when we hear this today, we'll be able to identify envy when we see it. So there's a lot of things that people do, people say, that we don't know what's taking place because we don't know what God's word says.
Amen.
That's why you often hear me say, go study God's word. Put it in your heart.
Amen.
When you know God's word and you see something happening, and you see something happening, it gives you the wisdom, the knowledge and understanding to know how to deal with that situation. You see, because then you can offer the proper ransom to somebody, provided if you have the eyes to see if that they are just in the snare of the enemy, the devil, or if they are given over and they actually believe this. Because unless you have wisdom, knowledge and understanding of what's going on, chances are you're going to behave after the flesh.
Yes,
and you're not going to do right.
Amen.
Amen.
And our reaction is not going to justify the action, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God.
Absolutely.
Amen.
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 Jealousy, lust, competition, destruction, bitterness, covetousness, comparison, self-hatred. And before we go any further, we're going to read Proverbs 9:8. And it says, and I'm going into this particular way right here for a second, because we need understanding before we go any further, all right? Reprove not a scorner. Did you hear that? Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Now, we've all seen the actions of this taking place. And it's always a pleasant experience to reprove a wise man.
Amen. That's right.
Well, why? Well, the wise man, you do know that wise men make mistakes too.
Sure. Amen.
Do you understand? Now, the wise man, his reaction is, when reproof comes, his actions is a whole lot different, quite different than someone who has a scorner spirit.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
The wise man, he may smile, but not with a smirk.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
He may give a smile, but not with a smirk. Or frown in real concern.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of repentance taking place.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
A wise man, when he is wrongfully reproved, he seeks non-judgmental reconciliation.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? See, these are the actions of a wise man when he's reproved. A wise man know that reproof is there because it's there to give life.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it looks like we got a gap there. If a wise man is wrongfully reproved and he's seeking non-judgmental reconciliation, that means he said, I understand that the brother meant well.
Yes, right.
So, but there's no need in me going to him and saying, brother, you missed it. Non-judgmental reconciliation.
Right.
Because he's wise.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
Amen.
The Bible also says wise men know how to hold his peace too.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen.
Hmm? Now, a scorner, he retaliates when reproved. Why? Because he's filled with jealousy, envy, and bitterness. Cannot accept reason and will not accept reason. See the attributes and the characteristics of someone who is a wise man when reproved and someone who is a scorner when reproved. See, when you know the word, they both act the what they are. There's no escaping of it. He's constantly in contention, has an evil disposition, that means face.
Yes.
The end result, he tries to get even with you.
Truth.
The scorner always slanders you to other people.
Yes.
Amen. Do you see the difference between the wise man and the scorner when they're reproved?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, God, he just wants us to have control of our mental faculties.
That's true.
Let's just tell the truth. A man of understanding won't behave the way some of us behave.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. When we have knowledge of certain things, we know how to bear that.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If we can perceive a brother and sister's bearing that, we know how to bear that and cover that. We know how to deal with it in such a fashion, which we're going to deal with a little bit later, that would give us understanding to be able to give understanding.
Yes.
All church splits and people who just take off and leave churches is born out of envy.
Yes. Amen.
You may not have to understand as we go right now. I don't expect to hear too much because, you know, everybody know how to act out of envy, but people have little understanding of envy.
Yes.
So I don't expect too many amen, amen, preacher, amen, pastor, amen, preacher, brother, hallelujah.
Come on.
So I hope that we have your undivided attention.
Praise God.
Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. This is the scripture. See, I only use this second part all the time. What did it say is the life of the flesh, brothers and sisters?
Sound
a sound heart. Now, earlier, we just had a nutritional program teaching here a while ago, right?
Amen.
And we saw that when you eat and consume certain things, it attacks certain elements or areas in the body.
Yes.
And then it causes a disillusionment. It causes garbage. It causes for your body to not act right.
Amen.
You consume too much sugar, it attacks the nervous system. It attacks the nervous systems, and you have this spirit always on you. They getting on my nerves. You ever heard that before?
Oh, yes, sir.
Uh-oh.
Amen.
All right. But see, in order to agree with that, you have to know what sugar does.
Yes.
If you don't know what it does, then just sit there. But the scripture says a sound heart is the life of the flesh. That's a heart at peace.
Right. Amen. There you go.
Is that not so? A heart at peace.
Yes.
A contented heart.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
But envy, the rottenness of the bones. Now there are many things that are being set up in our bodies because we cannot control our minds. Or either we have willfully taken a passive position and never checked any of our thoughts like the scriptures tell us to do. Every thought that attacks another in the spirit of your mind is the devil trying to set you up for some type of torment in your bodies.
Yeah,
true. Amen.
Whether it may be sickness or disease. But see, when we don't categorize it and put it like that, we can continue to lash out in the flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
If you obey a thought that comes into your mind, and you begin to think on a thought that's attacking the brother. Now, we do know who the accusing of the brother are, right?
Yes.
We know who he is, right?
Yes.
And we continue to think on that and relish on that and stuff. Do you think any good is going to come from that?
No, sir.
That's why we have the instruction book that tells us to cast down every thought.
Amen.
And imagination.
Amen.
That does what? It what? Exalts itself. That means it is contrary to the way God wants you to think.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
contrary to the way God wants you to think. God never wants his people to speak evil one of another.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
But he does want us to execute judgment in the gates.
Yes, sir.
All right now.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Is that right?
Praise the Lord.
A healthy inner man. This is what a sound heart is. A peaceful mind. Peaceful thinking. Peaceful reflection. Hmm? Even a memory is peaceful.
Amen.
Hmm? A mind, this is a sound heart. That is life of the flesh. A mind free of attack on others.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Man, how many of us want to obtain to that?
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
And I am, and I have.
Hallelujah.
How do you mean? Well, you see, I can't stop the thoughts coming, but I can bring them into captivity.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you think, y'all thank God I do, because we didn't, boy, we have hell around here.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Uh-oh.
Yes, sir.
You see the reason why I say know God's word. You get God's word in you, then the enemy, he can't deceive you.
Amen.
Hmm? Amen. Have you noticed that only when our eyes get off God, we lose our peace?
That's right.
Amen.
Is that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
What do you mean? A thought comes into your head about somebody else, accused of a brother, but we didn't
Amen.
Call it that. We called it a concern.
Amen.
That's right.
Hmm? And then we lose the peace of God because all of a sudden our concern doesn't do others good.
Amen.
But it's actually a deceitful thought that comes in there that's planting itself into our temple. Hmm? Trying to pass itself out like some of these scriptures on the wall. And then all of a sudden, this sound heart is lost somewhere.
Yeah.
Hmm? Well, I'm telling you, this enemy is out for no good. Because, see, when we start thinking of others in a negative way, it's very deceitful, and it steals our peace.
Yes, sir. That's the truth. Amen.
Now, you just think about stealing. You know, you got to be very careful to steal something. That's what the enemy does.
Yes.
We're not going to voluntarily just give our peace over to the enemy. He knows that. So it has to come subtle. In a way you're not familiar with, or either way you have not thought too much on.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, truth is, you could have a whole lot of peace even if you don't go into great detail to try to figure out what the thought is. If you just cast it down like the scripture says.
Yes.
God wanted you to know.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Then he'd have put it in there for you to know.
Right.
But see, now many of us have been given over to it. Now we got to realize the enemy that's attacking us in order to be able to fight to get him out of our mind.
Amen.
I'm sorry, folks, but see, I'm pretty much classified as a deliverance minister. And no matter where I go, I get people that get that very uncomfortable feeling when I'm around. Now, there's two things that go on when an uncomfortable feeling comes around, especially when I have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm born again. Ain't no other word of God in my mouth. There's two things going on. And it ain't me.
Amen.
Hmm? One is you're under condemnation of sin.
That's right.
Because of your condition.
Amen.
And two is you're under a demonic attack that opposes and recognizes and knows that a deliverance minister is in the area. That's why people will say, man, I fear you, and I don't have no reason whatsoever. I say, well, God has not given us that spirit of fear. So you know that it can't be you.
Amen.
I mean, after all, what am I doing? What am I doing to cause you to fear?
Amen.
I said, now let's change this for a second. The truth is, you know you're not afraid of me. But there is fear in there.
Yeah.
And fear is reserved for God.
Yes.
Hmm? So there is something in there that's causing you to feel very uncomfortable. Right, have I said something to you that makes you feel uncomfortable? No. Have I looked at your circumstance? No. What is it? You. Say, come on, bro, that's an accusing spirit.
Yeah, yes,
sir. See what I mean? I'm telling you, we have to know the enemy, brothers and sisters. Amen? Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? But who is able to stand before envy? Well, what is envy and how do you define it? Envy is a harsh discontent or ill will at another's good fortune because we wish we had it, or whether it be position, preeminence, material, spouse, health.
Amen.
Envy always leads to covet, which is one of the commandments that says, thou shalt not covet. Covet, this is an intense desire to own another's status or position.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen.
Or possession.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
Or to have what they got.
Right.
Now, lust is the driving force that schemes to take something beautiful away from another. Whether it be, i.e., position, spouse, children, makes no difference. All for the purpose of self-satisfaction and self-pleasure.
Yes,
this is that spirit of envy.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, amen.
Ain't nobody ready to run out the door yet, are they? No, I said yet. Because when you start telling on these spirits, what happens is the Holy Spirit, he starts dealing with us, and he starts letting us know, ho, wait a minute.
Praise God.
Look in the world that I,
Thank you, Jesus.
That's when, if you learn how to rejoice, you won't have to worry about defending the enemy.
Yes, sir.
Because we're not here to beat you up, tear you up, put you in the corner, and throw you in a dungeon.
No.
We're here to get you out of the dungeon that you're in.
Amen.
That you don't know that you're in. See,
because
if you keep listening, you're going to see how even the more so this spirit, my Lord, man, isn't it deceitful, brother? See, it actually hides itself and trying to make it, come on, it hides religiously.
Yes, sir.
It hides under a mask. The presentation of itself is just something in general, and it's a deceitful spirit. It's a wicked spirit. But I want you to understand, see, lust is what drives it, though. That's what puts the steps to it. Satan adds lust to envy, and lust is what fuels the fire of envy. Now, make no mistake about it. Envy is selfish. It's a selfish spirit, and it only seeks self-satisfaction.
Amen.
And in its full stages, it will get what it wants, even if it means destroying everything around it, including itself. Because that's what a spirit does. It has no love for you whatsoever at all.
Amen. Amen.
No love for you whatsoever at all.
Deceitful.
And you got to understand, the only way he could get in there is because a thought had to be planted in there.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, how are thoughts are planted? I mean, sometimes you may see a couple. Let's just deal with the spouse area. You may see a couple, all right? And then you're married too. But then you may see a husband or a wife behaving the way you would love for your wife or husband to behave.
Yes, sir. Come on. Amen.
And a thought may shoof come.
Sure. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
And you may start the reasoning yourself, thinking that this is your voice. I wish that my husband was like such and such and so and so. Or I wish that my wife were like such and such and so and so. See, that's what I'm talking about. Now you tell me, is that your voice? See, we need to establish this.
Yes, sir.
Because people don't go this deep, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You know me, I believe in pulling out the back hole, track hole. Hallelujah. If I had a nuclear death find, I would use that too.
Amen.
Amen.
And see, so we've attributed a lot of these sayings that come, you know, these so-called wicked, quote-unquote, voices of reason.
Yes.
In our minds to our own personality.
Right.
You know yourself better than that.
Come on.
Now, where was your personality at 15 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Amen.
I mean, if you was really desirous or envious of someone, I mean, come on, think about it. Wouldn't you have been that way all your life?
Come on.
Yeah.
Now, believe it or not, some of these things have entered in because of generational curses,
sure,
which we're going to find out too. I keep telling you, a lot of people behave the way they behave because of things that have been passed down through the family line.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now, don't for one second think that you're off the hook because it's been passed down. If you're in acting and still carrying this thing out, you're the one with the problem.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We won't find out about that too, because the Bible goes into great detail. I mean detail. The scriptures.
Amen.
You know, the things that they tell us is done away with. No wonder they want to avoid them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
There we go.
But what you need to do is, while you're hearing this message, you can find the effects of that spirit working. Then you need to start taking note and getting back the ground that you've given.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you'll know. Amen. You'll know if I'm telling the truth, because all I'm speaking is words.
Yes.
And words don't mean nothing.
Come on.
They're powerless.
Come on.
Sticks and stones may break my bones.
Amen.
Names never hurt me. Words never hurt me. So for sure, the words don't mean nothing, do they? I just thought I'd throw a little mock in there.
Praise the Lord.
But it will destroy others to get what it wants. Including you. When it gets finished using you up. Now, Philippians 1:15. I told everybody to go to the bathroom but myself.
Amen.
Now, Philippians 1:15. Now, I want y'all to listen to me, okay? Are y'all going to listen?
Yes,
I'm going to deal with a scripture that people don't have too much understanding on. I don't mind tackling these things like this. Somebody got to have it. Why not me? I guess, I mean, he called me to be a pastor. My job to feed with knowledge and understanding.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So we bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is in I bless his holy name.
Amen.
Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife.
Wow.
And some also of goodwill. Can you imagine someone looking at someone else preaching the gospel and actually envying the person preaching? Meaning they actually wish that they, you know, it could be them.
Right.
Because they feel that they could do it better.
Come on.
Sure.
Hey, it happens.
Sure.
Their mind starts to reason that they can do it better than that person preaching.
Yes, sir.
Or, you know, their mind tell, hey, you know more than they do. So sitting there in their seat, they start to reason within themselves, I'm better than he is.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I can preach better than he can.
Praise
the
Lord. Jesus.
I can do better than that. Look at him. He enjoys being in power and having people look at him. Well, I'm not going to submit to that. Look at how people look at him. These folks ain't got no mind.
Come on. Praise the Lord.
If I were preaching, they could be looking at me. How is it that he is preaching? All these people are fools. I'm more educated than he is. Did you know that 90% of the preachers that are preaching today were not called by God to minister at all? They envied someone else. And then all of a sudden they've been called to the ministry. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this happen. So some are actually preaching Jesus because of envy. Now can you imagine how many people are sitting under a man like that? They're actually partaking of his envy. How many ministries? I mean, come on, we have a diverse people in here.
Yes, sir.
And we've been around.
Amen.
When you put us all together, we've been around.
Amen.
How many ministries start because of some rivalry?
Oh, yes, sir.
Or I've seen people rise up against the pastor of the church. Do you know why? Envy. Attacks against pastors and ministry are constantly under attack by the enemy. So today we are going to bring to the front this spirit so we can recognize it when it rears up its ugly little head. You see what happens?
Yep.
All I did was just got finished communicating.
Amen.
Some of the voices.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We've heard them ourselves.
Yes, sir.
That don't mean you're giving place to them.
Amen.
That means you've heard them.
Heard them. Amen. Amen.
Truth. Come on, saints.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
We're going to look at some examples in Scripture. Let's turn to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. First verse. And we're going to put in context some things that are going on here. You know, as Lord, it's been how long has it been since we had an evangelistic service? Been a while? Somebody said, no, we preach that in here. People running aisles. Whoa, praise the Lord. Tears falling down their face. People receiving the Holy Ghost. Well, whenever the Lord will, he'll give us another, wouldn't he? I mean, we can easily create an atmosphere for that. I know I do that right now.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
But we won't stick with some sound doctrine for right now, all right? In case that spirit think it might be getting a break. 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed.
Amen.
Now, the subject matter of this text so far is the servants counting their masters worthy of all honor.
Yes,
and the purpose is, and the intent is so that the name of God, the one who you serve,
Amen.
Does not be blasphemed.
Amen.
And they that are believing masters, I mean, after all, you wouldn't want to sit around nobody who don't believe, do you?
Amen.
And they that are believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren.
That's right.
But rather, do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach
Amen.
And exhort.
Right. Amen.
If any man teach otherwise
right.
and consent not to wholesome words, even
yes.
the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. It gives us a list. He is proud. You hear that? If any man don't do what? Well, everything that just got finished being read.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Amen.
Huh? He is proud. Look at this. Knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words. There go your contention, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch this now. Watch this now. Wherefore cometh
Amen.
Envy.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore cometh what?
Envy.
Envy.
Oh. Amen.
Wherefore cometh what?
Oh.
Envy. So anytime you see contentions in the church like that,
Amen.
that's open without the Matthew 18 example. Wherefore cometh envy. Strife, railing and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of what? Corrupt minds.
Amen.
And destitute of the truth.
Amen.
Supposing that what?
Gain
is godliness. Remember about envy now. Remember what we said about envy?
Yes, sir.
It is a harsh discontent or ill will at another's good fortune because we wish we had it, whether it be position, preeminence, material, spouse, health. From such, withdraw thyselves. You see the context of that? Do y'all see the context of that? Do we see the context of that? There's a little small four-letter word in there.
Amen. Get away from them. Amen.
Did you hear that?
That's right. Amen. Truth, Lord.
You see, what we're doing is we're learning how to identify envy when it shows up. And of course, you know the enemy don't want you to know how to identify envy. Titus 3. Verses 1 through 8. Look at this now. It's amazing, see, because when I went through the scriptures and then I started going through all the scriptures that had in context envy, look what accompanies it.
Yeah.
Look what shows. You know just as well as I do that anybody can put a scripture here and put a scripture there and form a doctrine.
Yes.
But
yeah,
when you put it in context,
yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
It's kind of hard to deny what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We're not them that deny the faith anyway.
Amen.
Titus 3, starting at verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men.
Yes.
For we ourselves also were sometime foolish. Is that not us?
Yes.
Church said amen. Amen. Disobedient. Is that not us?
Yes.
Church said amen.
Amen.
Deceived. Is that not us? Come on.
Amen.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Serving divers lust and pleasures.
Amen.
Living in malice.
Yeah.
Amen.
And
envy.
Living in it.
And envy. Y'all see that flashlight? Must be a spirit cutting up, huh? Hateful. And hating one another. Did we not live that way, brothers and sisters? So we are familiar with that. But after that, the kindness and love of our God. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we've done because we knew we didn't do it because we believe the report.
That's right.
Amen.
We just read a report of what we were.
Amen.
Amen.
Living it.
But according to his mercy,
amen,
he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou do what? Affirm constantly. How many times and how often?
Always.
Constantly.
Yes, sir.
Continually.
Keep it before your face, before your eyes, always.
Yes.
That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That's like walking on eggshells. These things are good and profitable unto men.
Yes.
So we see the context there again, isn't it? You know, the scripture's putting a high priority on principalities being subject to not the evil work, but the good ones.
Yeah.
Amen. Letting us know how we used to be. So we can't bring that same old spirit with us into the church, even though we've done it anyway.
Amen.
See, that's why I keep telling us, you know, being a believer is a learned behavior.
Yes. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
If you are already perfect and knew the perfect will of God at conversion, you would have been Enoch.
Amen.
You wouldn't have been here because that ain't the way God operates. God don't keep holy people down here. He takes them home.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Unless they have a particular work.
Amen.
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 James 4. Do we see the context of what we read thus far that has to do with envy?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, you should be able to clearly see this spirit.
Amen.
Hmm? Start at verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Now, did we just not get finished reading two passages of scriptures that had to do with some type of disputings?
Yes,
sir. Directed at.
Amen.
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 From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your what?
Lust.
That war in your what?
Members.
Yes. Ye lust and have not.
Mm-hmm.
You kill and desire to have and you cannot attain.
Mm-hmm.
You fight and war, yet you have not, because ye ask not. Now that's a covetous desire right there.
Yep.
Amen.
You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust.
For your own glory.
Ye adulterers,
yeah,
and adulteresses. So it's covering male and female.
Amen.
Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Amen.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain? That the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Do you think that's a vain saying? Come on, do we really think that's a vain saying? Huh?
Yes.
But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the what?
Proud,
but give. Now, just the other passage said, he is proud,
right,
knowing nothing, but amen, doubting about questions and words of strife.
Amen.
We still dealing with the same form and frame, same context here.
Yes. Amen.
But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the who?
Devil.
So there is some resisting we have to do. And there's some submitting we have to do.
Amen.
And this is not anything automatic. This is something that takes action.
Amen.
It's not something passively, just automatically there. It's something that has to actively be pursued.
Amen.
Submit yourself to who?
To God.
And resist
the devil.
And he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners.
Amen.
And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. And let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness.
Amen.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes, amen.
Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Job said, for wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one.
That's right. Amen.
That's what Job said.
Amen.